Welcome to the deep dive. Now, we spend a lot of time here focusing on, world leaders, groundbreaking scientists, people like that. But today, our subject is maybe the most fundamental one there is. It's the story of a family.
Yeah.
We're diving into the graphic memoir, The Best We Could Do, by Teaberry. It's this really stunning excavation of her own parents' lives, the Boutran family.
And it's such an essential deep dive, I think, because the story of this one family, the author's parents, Bovin Bui and Mahan Tran, it's kind of a perfect microcosm.
A microcosm of what?
Of 20th century history in Southeast Asia. The book isn't just a biography. Teaberry calls it an act of radical empathy.
Radical empathy. I like that.
Yeah, it shows exactly how these massive, turbulent historical events, everything from French colonialism right up to the fall of Saigon, they get written onto the intimate lives and relationships of just ordinary people.
Right. And the power of the book, what really pulls you in immediately, is that central question she's trying to answer. It's so universal, isn't it? How did my parents become the people they are?
Exactly. That's the core curiosity for anyone whose parents are survivors or immigrants. People shaped by these huge forces.
So this deep dive is really about digging into the history that maybe created their silence. Okay, so to really understand the trauma and the resilience of the Boutran family, we need to start with those formative years. They were shaped by a country just violently divided.
Mm-hmm.
Her parents, Bo and Ma, they came from really different worlds within Vietnam.
Completely different. National history is family history here. You really see that. So take Bor Vinh Bu, the father, born in North Vietnam, 1940s, into a family with relative social privilege.
Okay, privilege. What?
But his childhood wasn't easy. It was marked by this deep emotional neglect. And his father had collaborated with the French.
Ah.
Which, after the revolution, that became a huge source of shame, complication, danger even.
Right. That collaboration creates this massive political and social weight. And then comes that first big rupture in Bo's life. The 1954 partition, communists take the north.
And the family has to flee south. Instantly, they become internal refugees.
Wow.
It's a defining moment for him and sets up this lifelong pattern of displacement for Bo. He loses his home, his sense of belonging. He's even cut off from his grandmother, who he absolutely adored.
So that displacement plus the earlier neglect.
It means his trauma was always kind of internalized, a sense of profound personal loss and, shame.
Okay, so now contrast that with Ma Han Tran, the mother. She was born in the South. Her experience wasn't that intellectual or emotional neglect.
No, hers was immediate, tangible scarcity, poverty, constant instability, always moving because of the fighting.
So practical struggles from day one.
Exactly. She was street smart, incredibly bright, and she saw education as her only way out, her only escape route.
So her trauma response was different.
It wasn't about shame. It was about needing this fierce, constant, visible resilience. She had to be practical. Emotional vulnerability. That was a luxury she just couldn't afford, right, from childhood.
So these two very different survivors. One internalizing through shame and loss. The other externalizing through this hard practicality.
Mm-hmm.
They meet in Saigon. When was this?
In 1960s.
Yeah.
And the sources actually describe it as this brief idyllic period.
Mm.
Which sounds strange given the context, right?
Amidst the war.
Well, they were both university students. He was in engineering. She was in literature. They got married, tried to build this, modern, stable life.
Pursuing careers.
Right. Engineer, teacher.
Yeah.
But the war, the American intervention, it was just this inescapable reality all around them. They had kids. They navigated the chaos until that cataclysmic event that just erased their whole world.
April 30th, 1975. The fall of Saigon.
In a single day.
Yeah.
Everything gone. Careers, status, security vanished. The sources really stress how abrupt it was. Not a slow decline, just gone.
And that leads directly to the escape, doesn't it? The boat people journey.
The harrowing escape. The sources really bring home the sheer terror. These dangerously overcrowded fishing boats, exposure to horrific storms, the constant threat of pirates. It wasn't some planned migration.
No, just a desperate scramble.
A scramble for life, absolutely.
And there's that anecdote about Teaberry's own birth.
Oh, it's so powerful. Born in a Malaysian refugee camp, her birth certificate doesn't list the city, just the name of the camp.
Wow. Think about that. Their family story in this new phase starts with literally a blank space where home should be.
It's the ultimate symbol of statelessness, isn't it? Displacement.
So they finally get to the U.S. California, late 70s, but the struggle isn't over.
Not at all. It just changes form. The sources detail this immense professional degradation they faced. The engineer, the teacher, now doing menial jobs.
Beau driving a cab, Ma in a sweatshop.
Yeah, just constant unrelenting survival mode. It completely replaced their old professional identities.
And you see how that reality had this awful, silent, emotional toll on their parenting. Thibaut describes growing up in the shadow of this huge, unspoken trauma.
Mm-hmm. Beau became silent, brooding. Physically there, maybe, but emotionally absent.
And Ma.
Super strict. Critical. Always focused on practical necessity. Warmth felt secondary to just keeping everyone safe and provided for.
Their love was shown through provision, basically. Keeping a roof over their heads, food on the table.
Exactly. Not through emotional nurturing, which, well, they probably didn't know how to give it, having never really received it themselves, especially given their histories.
Which brings us, really, to the true start of the memoir itself. The catalyst for the whole book isn't the war, is it? It's something much later.
It's this own childbirth.
Yeah.
Decades later in America.
Right. She becomes a mother, looks at her own baby, then looks back at her emotionally distant parents.
And she's forced to ask, how can I be a good parent? How do I do this when my own foundation feels so complicated?
That huge personal question turns her from maybe a frustrated daughter into a kind of family historian, desperate to understand what they went through, the sacrifices they made.
The book is that process. It's like the transcript of a decade-long therapy session, this act of listening.
So that decade of interviewing, of listening, it leads to the book's core philosophical takeaway, right? If we had to boil down the essence of the Boutran experience, what's the central idea Thibaut lands on?
I think the thesis is really profound.
Mm-hmm.
Empathy. It's a product of historical context. You just cannot look at the flaws or what you perceive as shortcomings in your parents or anyone, really.
Without understanding their world.
Exactly. Without understanding the world that forged them. For Boo and Ma, their absolute primal drive wasn't about achieving emotional closeness. It was simpler, more raw, survive, secure stability, that's it.
And that's where the nuance is so important, isn't it? That constant, fierce focus on survival, it effectively overshadowed their capacity to nurture emotionally.
It eclipsed it.
Yeah.
It wasn't malice. It wasn't indifference. It was just the survival toolkit they developed during war and escape. It didn't include emotional vulnerability. There's no space for it.
And you see that manifest in these small, telling ways. The sources talk about Bull's coping mechanism, silence, melancholy, this desperate need for order.
Right, and there's that incredible detail about his obsession with perfecting how he cooks rice.
It sounds so minor, doesn't it? But what did that represent for him?
It's so telling. It's an act of reclaiming control. In a life where, you know, violent history took away his country, his career, his status, his home, everything, he could still control the texture of the rice.
He could enforce perfect, predictable order in just one small corner of his chaotic new American life.
Exactly. And Ma, on the other hand, she channeled her resilience into that hard practicality we talked about. Her hardness was a shield.
She saw being soft as dangerous.
A dangerous waste of energy, a risk that could jeopardize the whole family. They were both, in a way, living relics of their trauma, just coping differently.
So this genius here, her response. The book itself becomes her form of survival, this act of radical reframing.
Yes. She's confronting the adversity her parents buried by giving it form, giving it visibility. She's excavating the past they buried, not to judge them.
But to heal the silence.
To heal the silence, precisely. And we can trace the family's path, its dramatic evolution, through three really monumental turning points. Events that just irrevocably altered their course, their personalities.
Okay, number one has to be that foundational historical rupture we discussed. The partition of Vietnam in 1954.
Absolutely. For Beau especially, this was the moment he became unrooted. Lost his home, social standing, and that crucial connection to his past, his grandmother.
It turned him into a refugee in his own country. Implanted that lifelong sense of displacement deep down.
Yeah. Then the second, this is the existential disaster, the fall of Saigon. April 30th, 1975.
The end of their world as they knew it.
Completely. They didn't just lose a war. They lost their entire political, material reality. It forced that desperate boat escape.
Which defined the next decade?
And branded them as stateless refugees globally.
Yeah.
That event, you could say, created the American versions of Beau and Ma.
Okay, so the third turning point. It shifts from the historical stage to something deeply personal, right?
Exactly. It's the birth of Thibaut's son. This is the personal catalyst that really frames the entire memoir.
Becoming a mother herself.
It threw her parents' emotional distance into this sharp, painful relief. It's what transformed Tibi from being maybe a frustrated, questioning daughter into an adult truly desperate to understand the mechanics of their sacrifice.
It started the healing process for everyone.
Yeah, I think it really did.
So let's step back a bit from the specific history of Vietnam. What universal human lessons does this family story offer us, you know, the listeners, about things like trauma, parenthood, forgiveness?
Well, first, I think it speaks volumes about the power of storytelling. The actual process T undertook, the formal act of interviewing her parents, sitting down with a recorder.
It's the act itself.
That act broke through decades of silence. It forced this revolutionary shift in their dynamic. It went from being this hierarchical parent-child thing to something approaching mutual empathy.
They finally had to see each other as full people.
Acknowledging each other's full personhood.
Exactly.
It also gives us this really complex picture of love, doesn't it? It wasn't soft and cuddly. It was, well, ruthless and practical sometimes.
Totally. And the sources highlight that amazing anecdote where Ma just casually recounts part of the escape journey, describing that terrifying moment.
The leap between the boats in the dark.
Yes. Leaping across this churning gap between two fishing boats while holding a child.
I mean, you can barely imagine.
That single image must have just shattered this perception of her mother. It took hearing that story, that terrifying act of physical heroism, to replace the image of the strict, critical mother with a portrait of this fearless, decisive hero.
She realized her mother's love wasn't in hugs, maybe, but in the grim, silent work of just keeping them alive, whatever the emotional cost to herself.
Whatever the cost. And I think maybe the biggest lesson is identifying the true antagonist here. It wasn't Bo's melancholy or Ma's strictness. It was trauma itself.
Oh, that's interesting. Trauma as the villain.
Yeah, manifesting as silence, as misunderstanding. The book feels like a recovery. A recovery from the perceived failure of emotional nurturing. It's the powerful realization that those failures were simply symptoms. Scars, really.
Scars of having survived the absolute worst.
Exactly. And even if your own family didn't flee a war zone, I think everyone has that moment eventually of realizing your parents are just people. People shaped by forces bigger than you knew.
The book helps you make peace with your own family dynamics, maybe, by providing that historical and emotional context.
I think it really can, yes.
Okay, that deep exploration of context leads us perfectly into our three final clear takeaways from The Best We Could Do. Let's start with the emotional insight. What's the core feeling?
The central emotional journey, I think, is that shift. Moving from seeing your parents as maybe distant, flawed figures to understanding them as heroic, really complex survivors. Survivors of a history you can barely even imagine.
And realizing their perceived emotional shortcomings.
Were, in almost every case, the visible scars of their resilience. The toll of their survival.
Okay. Second, the intellectual insight. What's the big idea the book really plants in your mind?
That history isn't some abstract force you debate in textbooks. It's deeply, profoundly personal. A nation's trauma, colonialism, war, partition, it isn't just politics.
It gets written onto people's lives.
It gets written directly onto the intimate relationships, the bodies, the emotional capabilities of its people. The geopolitical becomes the intimate. You see it right there.
Powerful. And finally, the universal insight. The core message that really applies to every family, every listener.
I think it comes down to the title itself, the phrase, "The Best We Could Do." It's such a powerful mantra of forgiveness and acceptance.
Acceptance of what?
Acceptance that true reconciliation often comes from understanding. Understanding that given their specific circumstances, their knowledge, their own immense wounds, our parents or really anyone facing impossible odds, they gave what they could.
They did the best they could do.
They did the best they could do. And maybe we need to accept the world that shaped them to truly understand that. Narrator voice do not use Hust expert. Join us next time for a new episode featuring another world-renowned individual, a new book, and a new idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Akatra Foundation.